In just a moment, Wings to Victory. Today, women are going to war. Our women are doing a splendid job in the production forces, in the war factories, in essential civilian industry, and are speeding our forces for victory. They're also in the armed branches. The women have entered this world fight. These women wear the uniform and serve the flag as fully as do the men. But more women are needed for active war duty at once. They're needed in the waves, the spars, the WACS, and the United States Marine Corps Women's Reserve. All women who can are urgently requested to enlist immediately. Do a real full-time war duty. Release a man for battle service. You receive the finest training and equivalent pay and rank with the men in the fighting units. Get full information today about serving with Uncle Sam at the nearest Marine Corps, Navy, or Army recruiting station. Join in the fight for victory. Your country needs you now. And now, Wings to Victory.
Uncle Sam presents Wings to Victory. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. James Smith, USA. The story of a day with an American fighter squadron in southern Tunisia. How Major Barney Dawson and Captain Rex Hamill bombed a German general, wrecked two Junkers 88s, and whipped a flight of Messerschmitt 109Gs. From the West Coast, ladies and gentlemen, the Army Air Forces present Wings to Victory, a dramatization of American heroism based on combat reports from the fighting fronts. For obvious reasons, the names and characters in these true stories are fictitious.
An hour before sunrise, Major Barney Dawson. Major Barney Dawson awoke on his cot in a Tunisian shanty called a gourbi. His headquarters had been built by a French corporal, consisted of a wooden floor and four wooden walls sunk in the sand, with a tin roof and more sand piled on top. Major Dawson himself was just as rough and ready. He had slept in his clothes, a sort of uniform composed of British flying boots, GI trousers, an OD woolen shirt, and a leather jacket. He awoke to find Lieutenant André Delacroix, the French Army, cooking scrambled eggs and coffee on a dilapidated stove.
Oh, I wonder what time it is at the Cote Cabana.
Pardon? Oh, good morning, my Major.
Oh, good morning, Frenchy. Did I ever tell you about the Cote Cabana?
Cote Cabana? Is it in Algiers?
No. It's in New York. Oh. And when this war is over, I'm going to spend the rest of my life there.
Ah, a monastery, perhaps.
Well, that's fast thinking for so early in the morning. Drop in on me about 1945 at the Copa. I'll be in the corner table, right in the center of a misspent life.
Oh, a hot joint, this Copa Cabana. Like the Stork and 21, eh?
Yeah, but the hat check chicks are cuter at the Copa.
Oh.
Say, that's a song, cuter at the Copa. No, too early in the morning. Coffee, my lieutenant.
Oh, oui, oui. I shall wash the mud to your eye.
No, no, Frenchie.
Ah, I've said it wrong.
Mud in your eye refers to alcoholic beverages.
Oh.
Coffee is Java, if one must be slangy, but we purists say coffee.
Oh, thank you, sir. It is tricky, your slang.
Yeah, and probably all out of date by now. I left Mitchell Field in November. Where's Rex?
Oh, he went out to have a bomb put on his plane.
Oh, he did. Little rascal.
I'm worried about Capitaine Hamil. I think he has another reckless scheme in mind.
Yeah? Say, this is good coffee, pal.
Thank you. I do not like to gossip, but I fear Capitaine Hamil is planning a frivolous escapade.
Is that so?
Yes, this Boche general, Van Kloepner, at Caroin. The Capitaine overheard my report. I fear he means to blow up Van Kloepner this morning.
No. Well, what frivolity. I can hardly believe
it. Oh, I beg of you to stop the Capitaine, sir. It is not a serious project. Caroin is too well guarded. I have the hot intelligence that there are at least three fighter squadrons there. Capitaine Hamil will be throwing his life away.
Why, this is monstrous, Frenchy.
Oh, is it not cuckoo, but really the screwball? There is serious work to be done.
Frenchy, leave this to me.
Oh, oui, oui, yes, yes.
Oh, good morning, Grandpa. You still alive?
Yep, I made it. Well, shut the door. You want to give me pneumonia?
Oh, Grandpa. Hey, look, Frenchie, what's the idea of feeding him? This was the morning he had to shave and get his hair cut before he could have any breakfast.
I am but a lieutenant, a mere liaison officer. But Major Dawson will have a word with you, my captain.
Yeah? What have I done?
Bring me the list, Frenchie.
No kidding. I beg of you. It is a thing of gravity.
Oh, that. Well, I'm going to marry Charlene just as soon as I get back to New York. Hey, pass the ketchup.
No, it is not women. It is a boss general.
What? What do you mean, Frenchie? What general?
Aha, we caught you, pal. Go tell your armor to take that bomb off your plane.
Now, look, Barney, a guy's got to have himself a little relaxation.
True.
But not mad recklessness at Cowan.
You keep out of this, Frenchie.
And you keep out of it too, Rex. Now, look, Von Kluppner is my boy. I had a 500-pounder put on my ship last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and you can ask Sergeant McCall. Now, you wouldn't want to do this to me, would you, Rex? Spoil the old man's day off?
You, my major. You are going to Cowan? Oh, what is this? Is this a jeep? Name of name, you Americans?
Yep, I'm going to Caron.
Oh, but why?
Well, I just got a notion I'd like to drop a bomb on a general.
Oh,
give me havers. Hey, let me go with you, Barney.
Nope, I thought of it first.
Well, sure, but it really will be hot over there. You might need a fool like me.
Not a chance. I'm saving you, son.
Now, don't give me that.
I was never more serious. Now, you've got a bright future in this army. And if you haven't got sense enough to think of yourself, think of Charlene.
Ah, she'll never wait for me. Who else have I got to think of? I'm an orphan.
Well, think of your guardians, the Guarantee Trust Company. You'll want them to be proud of you.
Barney, if you weren't my commander...
The French Army is present. Hold back the tears, Junior. I'll be seeing you.
You see, Frenchie, it's no use. I'll never get that guy to change.
You are equally nuts, my captain.
What's different with me? I'm happy. I don't want to go anyplace. But Barney could have a star on his shoulder before this thing is finished if he'd lay off the Playboy stuff.
Mm.
I love the guy, and he worries me sick.
Yes, and you worry him sick. And both of you worry me until I am at death's door. She is a bum way to start a day in Tunisia.
The other pilots of the 1214th Fighter Squadron had a high and worshipful regard for Major Dawson, their CO, for Captain Hamill, the executive officer. Cooperating with several battalions of French soldiers and an American paratroop outfit, the 1214th had fought guerrilla warfare above 20,000 square miles of southern Tunisia. They had strafed German truck columns and light tanks. They had tankled with Junkers 88 and fought wolves and smitties. It had been a private little war all of their own. To them, it seemed a matter of course that their skipper should start this day with a single-handed attack on a Heine general at Kairouan. As he landed, they were waiting for him on the field.
Hiya, Skipper. How did it go?
Did you try him, sir?
Hey, you been in a fight?
Well, I can't hold on, Don. Most of you
can't. Give me room. Give me room.
I got a flak or a cannon?
Give me room. I got to act this one out with gestures.
Attention, you guys.
Oh, thank God you are safe. Did you kill the Bush?
Well, if he was there, he's a dead general.
Ah.
I went in so low I had to pull up to get over a building. You know, it's like in a movie.
Uh-huh.
I'm staggering in like this, you see. And then, blam, I let the bomb go and gave her the blossom.
Bravo.
And I looked over my shoulder and pieces of building were taking off all around me. And I'm still ducking.
Is that what got your tail, my major?
No, my lieutenant. A gall dang FW-190 jumped me about 40 miles back.
Oh.
And he got so close, I figured I'd have to turn or he'd shoot the pants off me. But the only way she'd turn was to the right, and that was right into him.
Yes?
So I fired one burst and he gave it the blossom and went on back toward Carrion. Well, maybe he heard some Heine's cousin on his radio phone. Boy, I was glad to see him go. I even yelled Heil Hitler, and I meant it.
I sure hope you got that, General Skipper.
Well, anyway, I put his hindquarters where his headquarters used to be.
Good joke, sir.
But what am I wasting this wet on desert air? Come on, gang, there's work. Uh-oh, what's that?
It's Jerry's. He's coming over to do it to us.
Hey, where's that sled Trent I told you guys to dig?
Right over here, take it down.
No, it's an American plane. He's getting the flag from the tower.
Ah. Poor motor job. This looks bad.
Here comes Rex from the tower.
Now I know it's bad.
Hey, Barney, go and shave. For gosh sakes, go and shave. It's General Bascom from headquarters.
Bascom? N.J. Bascom?
Well, we didn't get his initials, but
it's N.J. No jokes, Bascom, and how he hates me.
Well, go shave. Wash your face. I'll stall it.
Okay, but all our fun is over. Civilization is creeping in on us. No jokes, Bascom. Oh, murder. Good morning, General. I'm sorry to be delayed. I just got in from a mission.
Not at all, Major Dawson. How are you these days?
Well, I find it a bit monotonous, but it's a living, sir.
A living? Oh, yes. Yeah, sit down, will you? We've been rather neglecting you men down here.
Well, it's a pretty big war, sir. But we've managed to get along pretty well.
Good. I'm a little surprised to find you here. I thought you were the squadron in Morocco.
I was, sir, but they took our planes away to equip more experienced pilots, so I came down here to help out.
Are you officially in command, Major?
No, sir, not officially. I ranked the others, and I just took over.
I see. Mm-hmm. No doubt it was for the best.
Well, I hope so, General.
Well, I'm here to find out about your needs. Are you following a regular operation schedule?
No, sir, except for a daily patrol over the field.
You've received no specific directives?
No, sir. They've been too busy to get around to us. We've established contact with the French, and Lieutenant Delacroix, their liaison officer, manages to put us onto some pretty good targets. Jerry hasn't moved any transports by day in our sector for the last 3 weeks.
Well, we'll have to get you organized.
Yes, sir.
It's a trivial matter, but do you usually fly missions in those clothes, Major?
Yes, sir.
If you should be shot down and captured, you'd have to wear them for the rest of the war. You know that, don't you?
Well, they are a bit dusty, General.
I dislike to harp on these little things, but, we've never overdone the spit and polish in our air forces, as you know. But there is the matter of prestige. We're a big outfit now, Dawson, the largest in the world.
Oh, I'm proud of us, sir.
Of course you are. Well, we're both old-timers, and we're apt to remember the old slapdash days when we had a handful of pilots. We can't run things like that now. We've got to have organization. We'll soon be 1,500,000 strong, then 2 million. Those are solemn facts.
Yes, sir.
So much for that. Now let's get down to the paperwork. I hope we'll be able to clean that up today.
Paperwork today, all day, General?
Why, yes. Had you other plans?
No, sir, except I'm expecting a raid on the field at 2:30 p.m. sharp.
2:30 p.m., hmm? Well, your French intelligence must be very good.
I didn't get this from the French, sir. It's a hunch of my own.
Oh, you run this field by intuition?
I wouldn't call it that, sir. You see, Jerry's a very methodical Joe. He's raided us twice at dawn and twice at sundown. I figure he'll split the bracket today, and I'd be willing to bet on 2:30 as his time.
Well, we shall see. So much for that. Now then, are you familiar with Form 7109, Revised Series, a fundamental of proper operation?
Shortly after 1:30 o'clock that afternoon, Major Dawson clumped down the steps to his gurney. Captain Hamill and Lieutenant Delacroix had waited lunch for him.
Barney, is it really you?
Oh, give me water, give me air, give me cyanide.
Oh, he is still play-acting.
Oh, boy, if you think this is play-acting, you're nuts. I've been through the white fire.
You didn't try to kid the general.
Kid that guy? No jokes, Bascom. I've been listening to a monologue for 5 hours.
Were you respectful and solemn?
I was petrified. Hey, what do you got in that pitcher, Frenchie?
Iced tea, my major.
Ah, vive la France. Never mind the glass, just give me the whole pitcher.
He was not serious with the general, Alex.
Oh, Barney, you cluck. Why can't you play up to Bascom a little?
He didn't like my clothes. That's good. What's wrong with my clothes? Just a little dusty.
You tell him, Frenchie.
May I speak with frankness, my major?
Oh, please do, my lieutenant.
Well, please forgive my emotion, but you are a major in the finest air corps of the world. It has dash, it has elan, it has esprit, like a fierce red plume in the wind. It has won honors in this war that men all over the earth will not forget. And you... You, one of the bravest of the brave, in a dusty uniform, cracking the joke.
Good work, Frenchie. It takes a Frenchman to say the thing.
Oh, now, Rex.
He's right. You know he is. We've both been acting like a couple of nightclub gag men.
Well, sure. Why not?
Look, Barney, don't you see...
Now, wait a minute. Let me make my little speech. You and I came down here and we found a bunch of homesick, bewildered kids. Well, what are we going to do about them? Cry? Or embarrass them with flowery speeches? Nuts. We had to laugh it up. That's my recipe for handling kids. Laugh it up, period.
Are you on the level?
Oh, you know I am, Rex. You've been clowning around for the same reason.
Oh, I see. But of course, it is not mere frivolity. I am a dumb cluck.
But get me right, Frenchie. I like mine with laughter, and I've always taken it that way. And no brass hat from headquarters is going to change me. How about it, Rex?
I don't go with you there.
Why not?
You let me laugh it up from now on. You've got to get ahead in this army. You're a natural-born soldier. You have folks at home. They're proud of you.
And he's got Charlene, Frenchie. Have you seen all 6 dozen pictures of her?
I mean this. For your sake, Barney.
No thanks, pal. You don't turn me into any rank, greasy, sad Sam, and then go off by yourself and have all the fun.
Oh.
What's the matter, Frenchie? Do I shock you?
No, I'm not shocked. I'm just commencing to understand America.
Oh, ho, we're a gay race, fond of light wines and laughter. Come on, Rex, we got to take B-Flight up on a patrol.
Patrol? Where to?
Right over this field. I promised General Bascom that Jerry would raid us at 2:30, and I got to make good.
At 2:25 p.m. that day, B-Flight, the 1,214th Squadron, was patrolling at 15,000 feet. No Nazis were in sight. Captain Hamill and the kid pilots were very ungently needling Major Dawson on the radio phone.
I'm calling old Doc Nostradamus, the big prophecy operator.
Okay, Rex. It isn't 2:30 yet.
Well, I'm going to start laughing now. I want to get ahead of the general.
Major Dawson.
Yeah, I hear you.
Enemy plane at about 8,000. It's got a red neck and nose, and the wings kind of flap, sir.
It looks like Hitler himself, sir.
I'll give you the payoff line, Barney. It's a turkey buzzard.
Ah, B-Flight's humor is strictly grade B this afternoon, or am I prejudiced?
What time is it, Skipper? My clock says 2:27.
I bet the general is sitting down there laughing himself sick.
Just a chuckle would make him sick, pal. B-Flight, attention, all pilots.
Go on now, Barney.
Silence. The so-and-sos have crossed me by 2 minutes. They're coming in at 2:28. Prepare to attack.
Where? I don't see anything.
Take a good look at that dust storm, bearing 30 from the field. They're riding in on us.
I see them, sir.
7 Junkers and 8 Schmitties. Let's go. Pick your Junkers now. Never mind the rest. Hey, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
I said Junkers. You just shot down a Schmitty.
Oh, sorry, sir.
How you doing, Rex?
I'm working.
Oh, I love these new tracers. They turn green and orange. When you hit something. I got a top gunner. It's a neat thing, Rex. I wish you could see. I'm sharp today. I'm going around and watch these gunners die. Go down, you sucker. Go down. That'll be all for you, Kraut.
General Bascom was on the field when Major Dawson hopped out of a slightly damaged P-40, his second plane of the day. The 1214th had shot down 2 Junkers and a Smitty and had chased Jerry away.
Well, General, I missed it by 2 minutes. You should have bet me.
Yes, quite a coincidence, Major. Did you have any casualties?
No, sir. All my kids got back safely.
Good. Not much damage on the field, either. They missed my plane by a wide margin.
Oh, they're saving you, sir.
How's that?
I'd like to make another prediction. Jerry will be laying for your ship from now on until dark, so I'd suggest that you and your crew have supper with us before starting back.
Indeed. More intuition, Major?
Well, partly. They called off their attack when they spotted your bomber on the runway. The Jerrys are very big operators, and they mean to do it to you right. They went home to get more planes.
Quite a deduction. And why should they be so interested in one bomber, even granting that they've guessed a general officer is visiting you?
Well, sir, I think it's because I may have killed General von Kluttner this morning. I dropped a bomb on his headquarters.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir.
Were you flying alone?
That's right, sir.
As acting CO of this field, what moved you to take such a risk?
Oh, it wasn't too hot, General.
Kerouan is heavily defended. I'm afraid I still don't understand your motive.
Well, General, I'll tell you. It struck me as a funny idea, and I thought my kids would get a lift from it. To say nothing of von Kluttner.
You make this explanation in all seriousness?
Yes, sir.
I can't accept it. I'm afraid you've demonstrated your unfitness to command here, Major.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to recommend your removal. Such irresponsible monkey shines are beneath an officer of your rank.
Well, you're certainly entitled to your opinion, General.
I'll be shoving off in half an hour as soon as I clean up the rest of this muddle here.
Hadn't you better wait until dark, sir?
No.
Well, we'll escort you then, sir.
That will not be necessary, Major.
Frenchie, where in thunder are you?
Mighty Rex, I am shaving.
Barney's done it now. Got fresh with General Bascom. He's ruined everything.
Court-martial?
No, just going to be removed as CO, that's all.
Oh, where is the general?
In Barney's office.
Very well. I myself will personally go and talk to him.
That's no good. Help me persuade Barney to apologize.
No, that is punker. I will handle this. It is good of you to see me, General Bascom.
Not at all, Lieutenant Delacroix. What can I do for you?
I have come to speak for my friend, Major Dawson.
Well, that's hardly an order.
Please listen, sir. Sometimes a foreigner, a Frenchman of no importance like me, can see you Americans as you cannot see yourselves. It is well known to me that you, my general, are a great organizer. You are helping to make an air force of 2 million men. It will need all your talent, and all the talent of your colleagues on the staff.
And all our time, Lieutenant.
I know. And I also know that you believe Major Dawson to be a superficial man, a joker.
Yes, I do. He's no man for our team.
Pardon, but I must disagree. You have many kinds of men on your team. That is why you always win wars.
An interesting theory, but hardly...
Let me tell you what I'm sure Major Dawson was too modest to say. 3 weeks ago, Rommel was pushing you back from Kasserine Pass. You needed all the planes you could find, yes?
That's right.
Major Dawson took this squadron over there, without orders. Did he tell you that?
No.
It was magnificent. It could not have happened in any other army. It was a brilliant improvisation on the spur of the moment. We literally begged, borrowed, and stole our way to the right airfields. The Boche would have called it madness. We French, we would have wept at the lack of logic. But Major Dawson, he went over there and he fought. He helped to save the situation.
No doubt he did. We had too little time and too many supply problems to be properly organized then. But I think now we can dispense with the brilliant improvisers in responsible commands. We've shaken down.
In war, sir? It is never shaken down in war.
It will be, in this war.
Even so, I must still insist that you will need many kinds of men. And some of them like Major Dawson.
Sorry, Lieutenant. I'll have no one in my command who isn't a team man.
Ah, but my friend is a team man, as you call it.
I'm afraid I must disagree with you.
Oh, but surely, sir.
Sorry, but I have no more time. I'm taking off in 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes, General? Did not Major Dawson tell you? He has a firm premonition that the...
I can do without the Major's premonitions. Good reconnaissance is better than hunches. And an efficient raid warning net is better than good reconnaissance. I appreciate your interest, Lieutenant. Good day.
General Bascom, having ignored Major Dawson's advice not to start before dark, is acting as co-pilot of his Liberator. He peers with satisfaction at the sky's fleecy overcast. He has prudently circled his field twice to make sure that there is no German ambush far upstairs. Now, as he heads north, he turns and speaks to his pilot.
George.
Yes, sir?
Do you see any signs of avenging swarms of Jerries?
Not a thing in sight, General.
Barney Dawson is a rattle-brained ass. He always was a rattle-brained ass.
Yes, sir.
Too many nightclubs, that's his trouble. Now he thinks he can read the German mind. He'll soon be back reading tea leaves in some New York dive.
You're really going to ship him, sir?
Ship him? Why, he's got a tag on his collar right now. I want team men, not selfish, arrogant grandstanders. Him and his hunches.
There's a dust storm rolling up ahead, General. I think we'd better climb.
Right, they formed quickly down here.
General Bascom.
Yes? Yes, speak up.
Enemy planes at 2 o'clock, sir.
Enemy planes at 8 o'clock, sir.
At 11 o'clock, sir.
I see plenty of them now, sir. They were hiding in the dust clouds. All gunners, stand by.
How far have we come, George?
45 miles, General.
Think we can fight it through?
No, sir. I think we better turn back for Dawson's field to flash them for help.
This is the tail gunner. A whole flock of them are coming down at 6 o'clock, General.
We seem to be in a bit of a pocket, George. Turn and I'll open the radio phone.
It's too late now, sir.
Radio man, put us on the 1214th Squadron's beam.
Yes, sir.
What's the call word on that squadron?
Charlene, sir.
Charlene, it would be. Hello, Charlene. This is Bascom calling Charlene. Hello, Charlene.
This is Charlene, General. We're receiving you. Go ahead.
Dawson. We're in a bit of a scrap here. I was wondering if you could...
Roger. Stay in there, sir.
Look, Dawson, you'll have to hurry if you're going to do us any good.
I can see that, General. We're coming right down.
Dawson, where are you? Are you kidding me?
My squadron is right above you, sir. I thought you might need us after all. Coming right down. Hey, Rex.
Yeah, Barney?
Take people out in circle the General's ship.
Okay.
I'll go in above and Tommy can go in below. Got it, Tommy?
Roger.
Warn your gunners, General. The Krauts are a setup for us. Let us take them. Okay, gang. Charlene.
Those guys are good, sir.
Oh,
first pass. General Bascom.
Yes, Dawson? Hello, hello.
We've thinned them out a little, sir. Your ship looks pretty badly shot up. I suggest you run for the field.
Very well, but Dawson...
Excuse me, sir. Hey, Rex, get that guy off. Turn into him, Harry. Hello, hello, General. You were calling me.
Yes, Major, I was. I just want to say that a man with hunches like yours is a pretty handy lad to have around. You saved me from getting my pants shot off.
Did you hear that, Rex? The General admits I called a turn.
Yes, my Major, I heard it.
If I keep on calling him like this, I'll find myself reading tea leaves in the ladies' lounge at the Copacabana. Was it that funny, Rex?
I didn't crack a smile.
You have no sense of humor, son. A very funny line of dialogue, Major Dawson. Very funny.
Why, General Bascom, you old sweetheart.
Soon, they tell us, the Army Air Forces will number 1,500,000 officers and men. Already our White Star is a world symbol, recognized by the hermit on his mountaintop and the pygmy in his jungle. Twirl the globe and stab a finger at random. Is it an island in the Banda Sea, an area in Kurdistan, a point in the Gobi Desert? Well, we are there. Our White Star has just passed over. Our guns are muttering along the horizon. The savage tribes know us well. Melanesian headhunters and Japanese, pagan thugs and Nazis, Hottentot cutthroats and Mussolini's fascists, the ignorant, the benighted, the bloody, know us and fear us. Our miracle of might is a terror to them and a joy to decent men everywhere on this earth. How did this miracle come about? How did we rise from an aerial impotence of 1935 to the glory of Midway and the Bismarck Sea? Why, sirs, it was a dream. And the dream was called air power. Those two Americans who stood on a hill at Kitty Hawk thought they were launching a new means of transportation. But a little group of United States Army officers and civilians saw in that wheezy kite a power which might one day decide the destiny of man. They were a strange, wild, reckless crew, these disciples of air power. Men called them theorists, crackpots, visionaries, and fools. It was a long flight from Kitty Hawk to Midway. How they worked and fought and argued and schemed and prayed. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Who has counted the rosary of their dark hours? Some of them lost fortunes in aviation companies. Many of them lost their lives in crashes. Few of them died of broken hearts. But none of them lost the dream. Oh, splendid vision. Oh, gallant pioneers. To them, the living and the dead, we say, dreamers, your dream is here. 100,000 planes sweep on to the victory which shall be ours and yours. You shall live in the name America and in the heart of mankind.
To Wings to Victory, presented by the Army Air Forces. Sergeant Hal Gibney speaking. This war service program came to you from the West Coast. This is the Blue Network.